Okay, so we'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And all together, Lord, I believe in you. Increase my faith. I trust in you. Strengthen my trust. I love you. Let me love you more and more. I am sorry for my sins. Deepen my sorrow. I worship you as my first beginning. I long for you as my last end. I praise you as my constant helper. And call on you as my loving protector. Guide me by your wisdom. Correct me with your justice. Comfort me with your mercy. Protect me with your power. I offer you, Lord, my thoughts to be fixed on you, my words to have you for their theme, my actions to reflect my love for you, my sufferings to be endured for your great glory. I want to do what you ask of me, in the way you ask, for as long as you ask, because you ask it. Lord, enlighten my understanding, strengthen my will, purify my heart, and make me holy.
Help me to repent of my past sins and to resist temptation in the future. Help me to rise above my human weaknesses and to grow stronger as a Christian. Let me love you, my Lord and my God, and see myself as I really am, a pilgrim in this world, a Christian called to respect and love all those whose lives I touch, those in authority over me or those under my authority, my friends and my enemies.
Help me conquer anger with gentleness, greed by generosity, apathy by fervor. Help me to forget myself and reach out towards others. Make me prudent in planning, courageous in taking risks. Make me patient in suffering, unassuming in prosperity. Keep me, Lord, attentive at prayer, temperate in food and drink, diligent in my work, firm in my good intentions. Let my conscience be clear, my conduct without fault, my speech blameless, my life well ordered. Put me on guard against my human weaknesses. Let me cherish your love for me. Keep your law and come at last to your salvation. Teach me to realize that this world is passing, that my true future is the happiness of heaven, that life on earth is short and the life to come eternal. Help me to prepare for death with a proper fear of judgment, but a greater trust in your goodness. Lead me safely through death to the endless joy of heaven. Amen.
It's so beautiful. I say that wraps up our night on prayer. I'd like to welcome you all again. And this is part two of our assembly follow-up. And so we thought it might be good to start with just a brief reminder about the first follow-up, whether you were here or not. And that will kind of give you a lead into why tonight our topic is prayer. So, of course, following from the diocesan assembly and our call to become missionary disciples, we just took a quick look at different ways organizations are putting out that message, such as Focus with Win, Build, and Send, or our own diocese with the words Encounter, Grow, and Go. And, of course, from the book that we're using, Prayer, Study, and Generosity, that idea of becoming a dynamic Catholic. So all of them about becoming missionary disciples. And then Todd talked about why. And so that tied into, of course, our Great Commission from Jesus himself and how we were reminded of it by Pope Paul, by St. Pope John Paul, and then, of course, our own bishop and our own pastor, that call to missionary discipleship. And Todd then also said in his pep talk that night that something awesome this way comes. And it was that reminder that through this process, through the diocesan assembly, that this is a time of revitalization and a time of reconversion, both of ourselves and then, of course, of our church. So that's what makes it all so exciting. And then the groupers start to talk about the idea of divine intimacy. So that first night we start to talk about the first sign of a dynamic Catholic, which is prayer, divine intimacy, that drawing closer to the Lord. But Matthew Kelly brings up a point. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot as far as the homework that we had of chapter 1 and 2.
Put them on the spot.
Okay. Just being honest. How many have read something out of the book?
Something.
Woo! Okay, now the harder question. How many read chapter 1 and 2?
Wait.
Not bad. Not bad. Okay, no worries. So if you have your book with you, we're going to just take a look at a few parts together that lead into this whole talk of, you know, the necessity for prayer, the why, and the importance. And it starts, on page 63. And if you don't have a book, maybe the person next to you will let you look. We're just going to skip around through a couple of pages here, just some really key passages, at least that stood out to me as I was reading through it. 63. So the first one is just the quote that's up on the screen too. Prayerlessness is one of the greatest torments of modern times. So just the power of that statement if you really start to think about it. And what does he mean by prayerlessness? I'll ask you guys if you can see this. What do you think he means?
Nothing in, nothing out.
Anybody else?
If we're plugged into ourselves.
Right. If we're prayerless, we are plugged into, it's like being plugged into ourselves, just working, trying to work from our own power, right? And that's not going to last very long, is it? It's not going to work, just like this isn't going to work.
I just noticed that it was plugged into itself.
Sorry, I didn't turn it that way, Father.
No, I'm just dense.
So, that idea of divine intimacy and the importance of drawing closer to the Lord. So he continues, we'll read that passage together. For decades, the time we spend in focused prayer has been diminishing as our lives have become busier and busier. We have fallen into the tyranny of the urgent, which demands that we rush from one urgent thing to the next. The problem with this is that the most important things are hardly ever urgent. This can leave us always doing urgent things, but never doing important things. It is these most important things that we are never getting around to in this cycle. Prayer is one of those important things, and among the highest priority. Prayer helps us to identify what matters most and strengthens our hearts and minds to give priority to those things in our daily lives. What could be more important than prayer? And then he continues on page 64 to talk about an idea called a prayer giant. And actually, this was part of Joseph and Crystal's presentation too, when he referred to St. Monica and, of course, her prayerfulness for her son, St. Augustine. And it's on page 64. And I just want to plant the seed in your mind because it's so important that we do become these prayer giants. Over the years, I have encountered, this is the first full paragraph on 64, I have encountered many great families in my travels. A number of years ago, I started trying to work out what made these families so steadfast and full of life. Tolstoy begins the epic novel Anna Karenina with these lines: happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. What I have discovered is that all the great families I have encountered have a prayer giant, or a giant of prayer. These prayerful giants pray constantly for their families, surrounding them with God's protection. Somewhere in their not too distant past is a person who was a prayerful giant. For my family, that was my mom. A prayerful giant is a person who covers their family with prayer, anchoring the family in God's grace. Sometimes it is the grandmother or grandfather, the mother or father, an uncle or aunt, and from time to time you have to go back two or three generations, sometimes more. But you will always find a prayerful giant in their family tree. Every family needs a cornerstone of prayer to pray for the family now and in the future. And if you continue on to page 67, three paragraphs down, parishes are like large families in many ways. Every parish needs some prayerful giants to surround the parish with prayer. And dropping to the bottom, have you ever known a really prayerful person? What did you notice about that person? Your family, your parish, the church, and the world need you to become a giant of prayer. And then further down on page 68, personal prayer is a deepening of your relationship with God, discovering who God is calling you to be for Him and for others. And then at the bottom, is it enough for us just to pray? No. We have been given the mission to transform the world, but the best action springs forth from a vibrant prayer life. So prayer powers all. Joseph pointed out in some of his cute graphics, or did Crystal create this one? I don't know, but.
It was me.
Okay, it was Joseph. He takes the credit. How Jesus, being the divine physician, is the one who can heal us. And through our prayers, as we can be healed, then we can minister to others. So what is prayer? It's conversation with God. As Joseph and Crystal pointed out in these slides, it's talking, but it's also listening. And so tonight, Todd, Joseph, and Crystal are going to take us through a number of ways to pray. We're eventually going to talk about a prayer plan and kind of committing to it. Each of us our own individual prayer plan, and then we'll end the night with some adoration. So I think Todd's up next, but I'm not sure where he went. Father wants to say something.
Todd, you're on.
Yes, it's your turn. But just as a concrete example of that, that prayer powers everything, think of John Paul the Great, like St. John Paul the Great. He started his day, I mean, think of how fruitful his ministry was. I mean, he set records for every single pope. Like, every single pope record, he broke it, right? With fruitfulness and vocations and letters and writings and trips and everything. But he began each day on his knees for at least an hour. At least an hour, so oftentimes two. And he began each day with prayer. And it wouldn't be like, you know, and if your this is the perfect place if your idea of prayer is like, you know, going through a prayer book and going through rote prayers and all that, right? There's a place for that. There's going to be a workshop for that. There's, you know, I say the rosary every day, but it's to bring us to something deeper, because oftentimes this prayer would just be groaning. God's groanings, like words, because words pale. The purpose of prayer is union with God, right? And so it would just be his groaning oftentimes. Groaning because of the sufferings that he was taking on, the heavy burden of the pontificate, and the sufferings of all the people he was called to minister to, and then groanings because of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit prays through us. So this prayer, so this is just kind of to whet your appetite with the different kinds of prayer. It's such a huge storehouse of spirituality that our church is, and there's so many different ways to pray. But I just wanted to mention that before I go set up for adoration. All right.
Thanks.
I just unlocked the door between so we can get in the other room. Is prayer important?
Yes.
Do we need it?
Yes.
So we're created body and soul. Amen?
Amen?
And our body is nourished by the material things of this world. But our souls are eternal and transcendent. Our souls have to be nourished, and it's nourished through prayer. And it's nourished through that unity that we get with the Lord. Prayer is very, very simple. But it's not always easy. Amen? It's simple. Prayer is having a conversation with the Lord. Prayer is talking and listening. It's very simple sounding. But sometimes it's not easy to do. And it's definitely something, even though it's easy, it can become very, very deep. It has an incredible depth to it. I just want to share just two or three thoughts from a great priest named Father Jacques Philippe. Has anyone ever read any of his books? He's awesome. It's hard to find his books because they're translations from French, and it's not like a big name publisher, I don't think, that publishes his. But just a couple thoughts from Father Jacques. Prayer is not a technique, because with a technique, there's always some people who have the gift of that technique. There are always some people who can perfect a technique. There are always some people who can dodge certain parts of the technique, and they can dodge some of the details with it. There's a lot of people, if it's a technique, they can find shortcuts just to get to the end result of that technique. It's not a technique. It's a relationship. Amen? And it's for everyone. It's for all. It's for everyone. And prayer and holiness are intimately linked. We cannot get to holiness if we don't do it through prayer. And holiness is our goal. Holiness means to be set apart for God from the craziness of this world, right? Holiness literally means to be set apart. So there's not two paths to holiness. We just saw, our father was just talking about St. Pope John Paul. It's not the holy person's path and then the common person's path. And there's two different ways. It's not John Paul's way and my way. There's one path, and it's prayer. And we can all do that. We can all do that. It's not a technique. Without a life of prayer, there is no holiness. Without a life of prayer, there is no sainthood. Let that sink in. Without a life of prayer, we cannot make that step into the eternal relationship with the Lord if we don't address Him in prayer and we have conversation with Him. Our goal is to be in His presence. And the God of the universe changes everything. Amen? He changes everything. Through prayer, we can tap into His creative energy. We tap into His dynamism. We tap into His mercy. We tap into His love and into His grace. On a way to holiness. Through prayer. Amen? In the interest of time, I'm just going to do this like in 1 second. you've got a handout, I believe, that lists three major expressions of prayer. You have that? That's right out of the Catechism. It has vocal prayer, meditative, and contemplation. Do you have that sheet?
Yes.
Okay. We're not going to read that, and I'm not going to read that to you, but it's the basic three forms of prayer that comes out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I just want to ask you a question. If you know what vocal mental prayer is, if you know what I mean by vocal prayer, that's mental prayer, if you know what that is, raise your hand, or at least you think you know. Raise your hand if you know what that is. Okay. Keep your hand up. If you know what meditation is, keep your hand up. If you're not really sure, put your hand down. If you know what contemplation is, keep your hand up. If you're not really sure, put your hand down. If you know the difference between meditation and contemplation, keep your hand up. Oh, there's a couple maybes. If you know, and if not, put your hand down. If you know what the prayer of the simple gaze is, keep your hand up. If you know what the prayer of transforming union is, does anyone? Okay. Kind of, sort of, okay. No, we didn't teach that in Alpha. We'll talk about some of that tonight, though, perhaps. So very briefly, vocal prayer are prayers that we pray aloud. But pray it, don't just say it. Amen? Vocal prayer is not mere recitation. You're engaging your mind while you're saying it out loud, right? It's verbalized mental prayer. Meditation is a quest of the mind. You use your imagination in meditation. It engages the whole person, the intellect, the imagination, your emotions. When you're meditating, bring in the sights and the sounds and the smells and the feels. As you're meditating, you're immersing yourself into whether it's the word or a meditative exercise. Contemplation is a gift that's received from the Lord, and it can be described as simply listening. One way to talk about contemplation. The simple gaze where, I forget which priest it was that says, I look at Jesus and Jesus looks at me. Who is that, John Vianney? Yeah. Before adoration. What are you doing there all day in adoration? I look at him and he looks at me. That's contemplation. So it's not engaging a mental thought like meditation. It's more of just receiving. What Father Matthias Thelen always says to me, just shut up and let him love you. Right? That's contemplation. All right? So we're going to talk about those three a little bit more. But Crystal and Mr. Joseph want to walk us through a little beginning, and then we'll split up, do something fun.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joseph.
I'm Crystal.
Seth.
All right.
Oh, you want to do that one? Okay, so if anybody read chapters 1 and 2 of Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic, Matthew Kelly talks about how in praying, if we want a routine of it, we not only need a routine, we need a routine within the routine. How to tie this in. For about 5 months, I went every morning to St. John the Evangelist at 5:30 a.m., 3 days a week. For 5 months, I would get up at 5:22, roll out of bed, throw on the clothes that I'd set out the night before, and come here. I didn't come here to pray, though. I came to work out with Father Brian every 3 times a week, 5 months. But we did it because we had a commitment to each other, we had a commitment to the time, we had a commitment to the place, and we had a commitment to what we were doing. It was either Pilates or work with weights. But we knew that ahead of time. Because we knew that and we had a commitment to each other, we didn't miss. If I was feeling a little tired, I still came. If he was feeling a little tired, I came to his house so he couldn't get out of it. but it's the essential thing. We make sacrifices when we make a real commitment, when it's actually articulated, and we know what we're going to do with the other person. And that's what we're talking about, what Matthew Kelly is talking about with the routine within the routine.
So things that are important to the outer routine, first and foremost, is the time. As long as I've been a missionary, I've always told people, pray 20 minutes a day, it'll change your life. Pray 20 minutes a day, it'll change your life.
It's a little bit like the 8-minute abs thing.
Except for this one really works.
This one does work.
I have lots of stories I can tell you later. And I think the 1% challenge is another thing I've heard with that. I think it's like, 17 minutes and 16 minutes and some seconds is 1% of your day. So it's really a very small tithe when you think of it that way. Deciding on the space, where am I going to pray? And to create that space to have as few distractions as possible. With this, it might be great to make a beautiful corner in your room with sacred holy objects and a nice comfortable chair that you could sit and look at. But if you have a chair and you can like get crap out of your view, that's good enough, right? So create the space, start with something, and you can work to improve it. Or sign up for a holy hour, which I think we'll hear more about later. But making sure you know where you're going to be.
Also with this, if you're especially planning to do this early in the morning, don't pick your most comfortable chair. It won't work. You will be napping. You will not be praying.
Not that you're speaking from
experience. I'm speaking from so much experience.
And that comes to the attention piece of the puzzle. So finding that time in the space where you can actually be attentive to hearing what the Lord has to say.
So for instance, I'm not a morning person. I'm barely even awake for the first maybe 3 hours. So it's maybe not the best time to pray an entire holy hour, but it is a good time to pray at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece that helps with the attention part is that within the routine piece of the puzzle. So knowing, okay, I've got my time, I've got my space, I've got my attention, now what? And that's what we're going to unpack a little bit more. We're going to have some group breaks out for the what and how. So what do I do with that time? What does it look like once I've made that commitment? But one of the things that we really wanted to draw out is this should be dramatic, right? This is a relationship, and good relationships have drama. And you know, we know that there's like the bad drama of getting in a fight and not knowing how to resolve it and being like yucky and gross. But luckily, the God of the universe knows how to have a good drama in relationship with you. And so this is a time to say, Lord, I'm mad about this, or Lord, why did this happen? Or to let him know how you really feel. We had a priest out west who would say, I wish that my parishioners would throw tantrums like your three-year-old does with the Lord, right? So to be comfortable with how you really feel with the Lord. So allowing there to be drama, expecting there to be drama, knowing that there can be drama when you make this time. It might not happen tomorrow morning if you set your alarm early and commit to this tomorrow morning, but if you stay committed, it will happen. So, and now.
Well, one more thing about the drama. Has anyone ever gone to a boring meeting? Oh, one person.
Never.
Never.
At work.
Not here. No, that would be ridiculous. But like, one of the reasons why meetings are so boring is because people are afraid to actually air the conflict, like to say, I actually disagree about that. And everything gets uncomfortable and weird, and nobody knows what to say. But that's actually the proper context to say, I don't know how I feel about that, or I am uncomfortable, or I think my research shows me something different. But that is what the space is for. Meetings are boring because we're afraid to actually be totally present at a meeting. And that's just with human beings. And I think we bring that same attitude into prayer so often. We say, well, I just won't show up, I won't push back, and I'll just, you know, talk about it with other people instead of with God. You know, I'll not bring up the major points in my life because I don't actually want his input, because I don't actually want to have that messy conversation, especially because I'm probably wrong. The drama of prayer, it's because at least personally, it's because I don't always show up. I don't always unload everything going on in my heart. And so prayer is boring because I didn't give God permission to talk about anything in my life. I just told him, talk about things not related to my life. And that's boring because he wants to talk to me about me. Mm-hmm. And he really does. He's the one person who more than anybody wants to talk to me about me.
Yeah. You're going to do the breakouts now?
I think we're going to do the breakouts now.
All right.
Are you leading that, Shane, or should we cast a little bit of vision for that?
That would be awesome.
Okay, we'll cast a little bit of vision about that. This is a dynamic Catholic night, and it wouldn't be dynamic if all of you sat all night. So what we're going to do is split up into three different groups to cover the three different kinds of prayer. Vocal prayer, if you want to dive a little bit deeper into vocal prayer, we'll stay here. Contemplative prayer will be in the meeting room just off to the right down that hallway. And then meditative prayer will be down the hallway in what is called the blue room. I think it's called that because the walls are blue.
One wall.
One wall is blue. One out of four. It's not bad. But go. Are we telling them to go with a partner?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Go with somebody that you know. And if you don't know somebody, meet somebody on the way.
Can you give a one sentence or two sentence description of the distinction between a meditative prayer?
Oh, Todd did that already.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
I was setting up for
it. Yeah. Nope, Todd did that. Pair up with somebody, because when you're done, are we telling them this already?
Sure.
Sure. Why not? Full disclosure. When we get back, you're going to have time to share what you learned with another pair. So go in order to receive, but receive and also in order to share. Does that make sense? So we'll have time, about 20 minutes in the three different spots, here, there, and there.
And which were they again?
Vocal prayer, contemplative, meditative. So you'll hear from one of us about one of them, and then you'll hear from two other people at the same time about one of the other ones. And then we'll have time to regroup, and then a short word on adoration, and then we'll have adoration.
And just a quick note, they have sheets for all of them.
And you have sheets for all of them. So that packet, you have all you need. If you're going to the meditative one, you'll need to bring a pen. You should probably bring a pen to every one of them anyway to take notes. Like Matthew Kelly says, if you're not taking notes, you probably don't think it's important. I think he says it a little bit more bitingly than that. Anyway, so make a decision. Vocal prayer, contemplative prayer, meditative prayer. Ready, set, go.